funny because when you quit church, it's because of something to do with you mad at somebody. You don't quit church and say, quit a church and said, I just had to quit. I just hurting them people too much. Nobody ever does that. Amen. You will never recover. Let me tell you what the enemy does. The enemy uses your failures, your shortcomings, your problems, and he deceives us into thinking that because of what we've been through, people aren't going to want to have anything to do with us. In other words, we won't go to the house of the Lord because when hard times hit, a lot of people break communications with the very people that God has designed to help them. The very people that will bring them out of their mess. The very people that God's going to use. They break communications with those people when they go through something. It's a total lie from the enemy, but he uses it time and time and time again, doesn't he? Do I have an amen corner tonight? Isn't it great we got a good crowd, so you can amen, tell everybody that wasn't here last night, said, how come you weren't there? Said, well, I couldn't be there. I said, you need the tape, because everything he said was about you, right? I'm joking. You know, remember when y'all remember being raised in church, nobody showed up on Wednesday night and the pastor chewed all of them out? And you were there. So I'm not chewing you out, I'm exhorting you. Because you're here, okay? Now, let me ask you a question. Just think about this. You know, the enemy is going to tell us, nobody cares about us. Well, how can we care if we don't know where you're at? How can we care if you don't let us love you? Amen. Nobody cares what I've been through. Everybody's talking about me. Let me tell you something. You're not that special. Aren't you glad I started with a joke? I preached this one time for Galen Pierce. He said, you're the only one that can preach on that and make people laugh. Amen. Well, there'll be some serious parts here. How many believe it was hard for David to go into the house of the Lord that day? That would have been the most difficult thing to do. And at the end of this, I'm going to show you how I relate to that. I want to just talk about church, three things tonight about church, okay? Because part of your recovery is going to have to be staying in church. Now, like I said when we started this, some of you don't need any of this. But how many know you need to recognize what people need to do to be free? Staying away from church and church people, you will never be free. Amen. Bottom line. You say, yeah, but church people are messed up. Huh, so are you. Let me tell you, I want to start with this, but I think it's time to say it. Jesus is perfect. The Holy Spirit's perfect. God's perfect. The word we preach, the Bible says it's been tried seven times and it's perfect. The plan of salvation is perfect, but let me give you a little clue. After that, it really gets fouled up, okay? Amen. Because nobody else is.
That's right.
Including yours truly. I want to tell you three things tonight. Number one, how pulling away from church hurts the body. See, the body is not just, it's not just the building, it's just not one church, even though each church is a body. How many know it's Cornerstone Church is a body? It's my body. It's where I meet. I go to see my rich uncle about every month. That's Cayuga. That's why their names are Uncle George and Aunt Mary. They're not the rich uncles. I'm teasing. They're not that. I don't know. Are they? Amen. They're not that. Number two, I want to just deal with something that's going to make somebody uncomfortable. The sorry excuses people use for not being a part of a local assembly. Sorry excuses. They're three Chinese cheers excuses. Fooey, fooey, fooey. And number three, Why do we go? Why do we go? See, we don't realize why we go. We don't realize what our purpose is to gather together with a community of believers. The word church in the Greek means ekklesia, and the literal Greek word is not just, as we've heard, called out believers, but it's called out community of believers. Do you know that the church should be a community? And it should reach its community by being community. Right, Pastor? Amen. Number one, let's talk about how pulling away from the church hurts the body. Listen to John 13. You can turn there if you want to. John 13, 34 through 35 says, and if you can't keep up, just write it down, because some of these I'm going to say turn there, but most of these you just need to listen to. John 13, 34 and 35 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. What? If you have love one to another. So how are people going to know we're his disciples? See, it's very important that we show the world we're his disciples, right?
It's very important we show the world as disciples. We are putting a desire in them to know Him when they see that we're His disciples. In fact, the Lord's Prayer, not the prayer you think of, but the Lord's Prayer, which is actually John the 17th chapter, Jesus was praying. And how many believe Jesus knew how to pray right? Jesus was praying in John 17, 20 and 21. He says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. Listen, that they all may be one. Did you hear me? That they all may be one. As thou, Father, and in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. How are they going to believe they sent him when they see that we're one? Because you know what? In my lifetime, the families I would like to have been a part of in my life when I'd spend the night, you know, like when you're a kid, when you spend the night with one of your friends, was the ones where the families didn't have the most money, didn't have the funnest house, but the family loved each other. My family loved each other. Amen. And I think for me and my wife, Judy, our relationship is good. And I think one reason why my son and his wife, who is just as bad as wanting to move up here, and if you knew the circumstance, you wouldn't believe it as she is because she sees a family unit. How many know people want to be a part of a family unit? Yeah. It's not going to be the worship. It's not going to be the good preaching. It's not going to be, you know, even the programs are good. But how many know if they see the family in the church, they want to be a part of it? But there's only two things that hinder that. Number one, when I don't love my brother and sister, even though they've made mistakes, failures, and tragedies, if I don't love them, that's not a strong family unit. But how many know there's another side of the coin, too? When I pull away because of embarrassment, because of shame, because of what's going on in my life, when I don't realize that they're just sent to bless me and I pull away from them, I'm hindering God's purpose in the family unit by pulling away because I'm ashamed of what's happened to me. Right. See, you're just as wrong if you stay away because of what's happened as we're wrong and not ministering to you when you show up and you failed God. Right. So the best thing the enemy can not do is when you go through something is tell you don't ever show up there.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, if you recognize it's the devil, you ought to show up every time the doors are open.
Amen.
Because there's evidently something that's going to happen there that can't happen anywhere else. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I'm trying to hold back at telling you my testimony and that how God used this church for me because I want to use that at the end. Now, I want you to turn with me just for a second to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, 14 through 27. 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 27. 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 27, real quickly. These are a lot of scriptures. Now, I want you to see some words here. I'm just going to read and give you some key words. We are one unit, people. And when one member hurts, we all hurt.
Amen.
When you decide because you hurt, because of failure, because of tragedy that happened in your life. And as I said, whether you did it or somebody else did it, when you decide to pull away from us, you're limiting the body. You say, yeah, but I'm a sore toe, baby. You're still a toe. Amen. But I'm a hurt arm. But baby, you're still an arm. Being hurt doesn't make you not an arm. Just because you pull away, you're not. Have you ever seen somebody decide they're going to do it on their own? They're not going to do it with the church. They're not going to do it with the body. You know, this is one body. There's one body called Christ, and we're part of that body.
Amen.
When I drive down the road and I wave at you, you don't say, well, there goes Mark's hand and Fred's body. You don't say that. Now, one time I've lost some weight. At one time I was about three people. But all three of those people's name was Mark.
Yeah.
Right? How many know he has one body?
Yes.
One body. And we are incomplete. We're only complete in him. Did you know we're only complete in him? Not on our own, in Him, all right? And to be in Him, we've got to be in one another also. Did you know that? And we need each other. See, we say, oh, all I need is the Lord. You lying, your pants are on fire. You need one another. Because, see, you're going to find out. I'm just going to read these verses. See, I'm just preaching these verses to you is what I'm doing. You're going to realize that, see, Christ is His body. And the word Christ means the anointed one. And every one of us is called and anointed to do something for God. Some are anointed just to show up. You know, that helps me out if you just show up, okay? Some are anointed to sing. Some are anointed to do all kinds of things. And what we need is we need us to fulfill the role in the body that God has for us and work together as one unit. We become Jesus on the earth without any reservation, without any limits. But when you're hurt and you pull away from us, it limits our ability to help.
Amen.
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 Well, I'm afraid of what they think about us. You know, we're not thinking bad about you like some people think.
That's
we
right.
are. You're probably thinking worse about yourself than we are.
Yeah.
You know, and as a guy told me, when I had that nervous breakdown, the counselor, when I went to whatever I went to, the place I had to go to, can't even think of the name, Hillcrest, he said, two things. If they want to know, then tell them it's none of their stinking business. You tell them who you told. Said, your friends will never ask you what happened. They'll just ask you if you're okay. And I found out I had a lot of friends, a whole lot of friends. Amen. And see, that was a lie the devil told me, and I'll talk to you about that in just a minute. Listen to these passages, and I'm just going to read through quite a few scriptures here, and I just want you to see some key words that show the connection. For the body is not one member, but many. And the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? How many of the answers? Of course not, dummy. Okay, verse 16. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not that, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Wouldn't it be stupid if we were just one big ear? Of course, knowing people would be one big mouth. Oh, never mind. Okay. It says, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were an hearing, where would the smelling be? Praise the Lord. There's people that are hearing things by the Spirit of the Lord. There's people smelling things by the Spirit of the Lord. And remember one thing. Don't be hearing something you're supposed to be smelling, okay? What's that mean? I have no idea, but it just sounded good. If somebody got that, they're intellectual. Okay, verse 18. But now God has set the members. See, I told you, anybody can preach this. But now if God set the members, every one of them in the body, is it hath pleased? Listen, is it hath pleased him? If they were all one member, where would the body be? See, if it was just, we were all one member, there'd be no body. It'd just be a big old ear or a big old mouth. But now there are many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Don't we say that? I don't have any use for all them young people being here last night. Well, then you need to read this scripture, quote it 1,000,000 times, and repent 2,000,000.
Amen.
We do need those kids here. Because some of you, as old as I am, in 20 years, you may be in heaven. If Jesus doesn't come back, that's going to be the church.
Right.
In fact, it is the church now, according to God.
That's right.
I thought those kids did great last night, don't you? Amen. It says, not much more of those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or necessary. You know what? When it says more feeble to me, I haven't really researched this out, but when it says more feeble, and he's using the word necessary, I think it means the things we don't see that aren't obvious. How many know I'm obvious? I said, I'm obvious. But the guy that sweeps the church, now always obvious. So it gets dirty. How many know every part's important? Every part's important. So why I'm saying, and the reason I'm saying that is because when you go through something, the devil will measure on whether or not he wants to, whether or not he will try to measure and try to manipulate your mind to think because of what you went through and because you're that insignificant, nobody's going to care. But God cares about everybody. He died for everybody.
Amen.
Jesus made sure that heaven was available to you.
Yes.
And see, that ought to be our attitude. And it really is. You don't know how much us that don't do that appreciate those that do that. You don't have any idea how great it is to come here and just get to preach. Amen. See, so we need to recognize that. Let's go on here. And see, that's why pulling away from the house of God and pulling away from the believers is such a dynamic, damnable thing from the hell, because it keeps you from the blessing.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Now let's go on here. It says, 22, nay, much, well, I already read that. Verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Verse 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked. Verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Listen to that. Care one for another. Okay, like I said before, we're guilty sometimes of not caring for the parts that we don't think are that significant. You know, we whisper against them. But the other side of the coin is, we can't minister to you if you don't let us. Amen. Verse 26, and whether one member suffer, I like this, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member be honored, all the members will be jealous. I mean, all the members shall rejoice with it. We don't mind suffering sometimes with people, because we're already in the ditch ourselves. But when they get out of it, how dare them? Well, I tell you, I tried that and it didn't work. You probably didn't try it. You're probably lying. You probably didn't try it at all. Hmm? How many know when somebody's hurting, we should be hurting?
Amen.
For them.
Amen.
Oh, you know what? I just got to say this. This is awesome. I had gallbladder surgery. Is Kent here tonight? Kent? Did you go when they didn't do the surgery to see how I was doing it. Was it you that did that?
No, it was me.
Oh, it was you. You came, Pastor. Pastor came, they didn't do the surgery, and he was there, and he had to leave because they didn't do the surgery. Their equipment broke down. And so, God bless them. And it was God, because, you know, I'm doing okay, but the first week, it was going to be a week my grandbaby was going to be there, and I wasn't going to be able to pick him up, throw him around, and I'm so glad it didn't happen when it did. But you know what was so cool? We had people from Cayuga there. We had people from the church there. I was leaving, and Jim Head came. I actually had people from Cayuga that went to the wrong place waiting for me. And John lied and told them all he heard me holler over at the other place, which was a lie. Amen. It was a terrible lie, but God... But I forgave him because at least he tried to show up, right? Amen. But see, that was so neat because, see, I was suffering. I mean, I it wasn't a big deal, but listen, I don't care. The word minor surgery is like when you go to the dentist and they say slight discomfort and pain. There'll be a slight discomfort. We're pulling your teeth out from the roots and they're stuck to your ankle, but it'll be a slight discomfort. Amen. But you know what? I know people that when God's honored our ministry and honored our life, even in this fellowship, that they rejoice with us. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular.
Amen.
Matthew 18, you don't have to turn there. You all know this scripture. Matthew 18, 19 and 20 says, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I've shared this before, but this bears repeating here. Let me say this first. We can't agree with you if we don't know what you're going through. That's why tonight the Spirit of the Lord said, what can you believe for? At the end of this, we're going to agree with you. Agreement is one of the most powerful things. One time Brother Hagin was talking to a person that knew Greek, and he said, what's it mean, it shall be done for you? He said, well, in the Greek, it's the strongest thing you can say, and it literally means that if I don't have it, I will make it for you. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Let me tell you, I looked that up in the Amplified, and the Greek bears this out, where it says agree together. The word agree is more than just a mental word. It's a verbal word. And literally, to agree means to harmonize together to make a symphony. Whew, that's good. Let me tell you what that tells me. I don't know a whole lot about it. Mary Jo knows a little bit about it. I think we've talked about it years ago, once before. But I always like to watch them. A couple of times I've watched like the New York Philharmonic and Orchestra. And you know, you've got all those different types of instruments, like string and wind and brass and stuff like that. And you've got a conductor up there. I think the master conductor is Jesus, and he's his baton in his hand. And I think that's the Holy Spirit. And they're playing this musical piece. And when they play it, if you've ever noticed, certain parts during that piece, certain instruments will lead out. And the other instruments will sit back as the other instruments are leading out, you know. And then there'll be places in that piece where everybody's playing. And what I've noticed that's really cool a lot of times is the audience will stand up and applaud. And when they do, those types of instruments like the string or brass or wind or whatever it is, they will stand up as a group and bow. And then the master conductor will bow like that, or he'll go back like this and bow at them. And I think that's just a great typical what the church is supposed to be like. Because see, there's this musical masterpiece that God's trying to create, and it's called the glorious church that's out in spider wrinkle, and the conductor's name is Jesus, and he has a baton in his hand called the Holy Spirit. Now this musical masterpiece only has one audience, and his name is God the Father. And there's going to be a day when the trumpet, which is the final sounding of the last musical masterpiece, is going to rise, and the church is going to be caught up together because everyone's in unison, and bless God, we're serving God and we're loving each other. And why can't that begin in Grove, America?
Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen. How many know for that to happen, you don't need to hide from us when you're hurting. You don't need to run from us when you're going through something. You don't need to deny it. How many know that's not negative confession to confess you're going through something? Negative confession is not standing on the promise that can get you through it. How do I know what to stand on for you if I don't know what you're going through? Amen. Praise God. The reason I have a chair is so I can sit down and rest for about 5 minutes and get with it again. Actually, I do it because I think the Lord just told me to do this. So, number two. Are you ready? That was good. Number two. Excuses for not going. Ooh, are we going to nail that? Ooh, I love it. Here's the first one. I got hurt in church. Can I say there's a multi compassion? I can say, big deal. Welcome to the stupid club. Every time I go to church, I get hurt. Well, you just might be one big pain. Are you making fun of me? Uh-huh. Go to Psalms 55. You got to turn here. Like it's something new. I just didn't know people could be that way in church. Well, you're awful dumb. Now, that should have hurt you right there. But that, you know, there are things that aren't supposed to happen in church. But as I said, we're not perfect. Amen? Amen. I could tell you stories about how mean church people can be. And be nasty and throw a little bit of God said on the end of it, it's okay. I've seen people pray in the spirit of the altar and get up from the altar and lie like a dog about me. If I was doing everything some people accuse me of, I'd be wore out from doing so much. Everybody thinks when you're, you know, when they take you good travel, you're full time. Oh, everybody likes you. You just hanging with the wrong crowd, baby. Yeah, there's a lot. I don't have a lot of enemies. I really don't. But I have some, though. But I'm supposed to love my enemies. And some of my enemies and me have been restored. So God's a good God. David went to church. Do you think that they weren't talking about him when he walked in that day? I didn't study exactly who was there, who wasn't there. You don't think that got in anybody's conversation? There are some long-tongued Jewish people as much as long-tongued church people in Grove. One sister one time told the pastor they had an altar in their church, and she said, Pastor, I want to lay my tongue on the altar today. He said, Hon, we're going to have to take up a building fund offering before you do it. Because I don't believe it's long enough yet. Jerry B. Walker years ago went to a church one time to preach, and this woman had trouble with gossiping, and God told him to pray for her and told her, Sister, I'm going to pray for you, but God told me to tell you if you ever talk about anybody anymore, he's going to strike you dumb just to humble you. Her husband called the next morning and said, you need to come over here, Pastor, you and Brother Jerry, and pray for her. So what's wrong? He said, well, she got talking this morning, eating breakfast, got talking ugly about you and telling everybody that the evangelist Jerry B. Walker was stupid. She never should have done that. And said, right when she's eating her cereal, her tongue fell out of her mouth and it swelled up and she can't get it back in. I've been praying a prayer. I won't tell you what it is. I've been praying to be in a church service and preach on gospel and have a bunch of people with big, thick tongues that can't get back in their mouth and pray for them. Amen. And not even be led by the Spirit. Just say, I believe you've been giving the pastor trouble. And I believe you've been giving people trouble just because they can't talk. Glory to God. Amen. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Amen. How many know that word from God today say, I can believe for stuff? I don't think I'll believe for that. Because I might be one I need to be prayed for. You never know. Don't laugh too hard, guys. Listen to what happens here. David gets hurt by church people. Listen to what happens. A lot of verses here, but let's read them together. You look at them as I read. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me, and I mourn in my complaint, and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pain within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. I said, people are attacking him, talking ugly about him. Being mean to him. And he says in verse 6, oh, I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, that I would fly away and be at rest. I've never wanted that before. I want to get out of here.
Yeah.
Can I say something? It might sound a little crude, but if that was right in that, I'd have added something on. If I was a dove flying away from a bunch of people who gave me trouble, I might leave something behind for them. Amen. Glory to God. Don't look at me spiritual. You know what I'm talking about. Now, I did this one when I had a nervous breakdown. Lo, that I wandered off far. I didn't even think about this until I read it. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I did that one. Verse 8 said, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Verse 9, destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I've seen violence and strife in the city. These people are they're causing violence and strife in the city by their words. Amen. I bet these are mean, ugly people. I bet these aren't nice people. Look at verse 10. Day and night they go about upon the walls, therefore mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. They're making everybody depressed. They're wicked. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from their streets. Listen to what it says in verse 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him, but it was thou a man my equal, my God my acquaintance. He's saying these people doing all this stuff were his friends. Next verse, it gets even worse. Look at what it says in verse 14. We took sweet counsel together and walked in the house of God in company. Not only was his friends, he was church people he was talking about. So they're just as mean and ugly back then as they are now. How many know God doesn't change neither do ugly church people? Isn't that wonderful? Now anyone want to join the church tonight? Isn't that wonderful? How's that wonderful? It means people are people. Right? And David says, so I'm going to quit. I'm going to watch TV ministries. There's nothing wrong with TV ministries. Thank God for them. How many know there's something you get from the house of God you don't get from TV ministries? Now go with me in your Bibles. Well, Psalms 84. Verse 10. Now, I'm not a real bright person, and I'm not that great of a Bible scholar, but I believe that Psalms 55 comes before Psalms 84. How many of you believe that? Right? It's not a trick question. How many believe it comes after Psalms 55? Yeah. So what he's telling after these ugly, mean, here it is, church people. He's praying for, I don't want to mess with them. I want to fly away. And if you took my version, left something behind when you flew away. Look at what he says in Psalms 84:10. See, you can miss the point of getting ministered to and ministry just because you find out what's wrong with your surroundings in the family of God. We're messed up, but we're made right by God. We have problems, but God's solving them. We have failures in our marriage and failures in our life and failures in our family, failures in our health and failure in our finances. But that's why we're in the house of God working together to try to complete each other to be what God's called us to be. I may be rough around the edges. I thank God there's a lot of edges in me that's been smoothed out, but it's because I stayed here. I stayed in the family of God. I stayed with the things of God. I asked my wife one time because we know people that are just about as messed up as I am or was. I said, Judy, you know, you had plenty of opportunity to say, forget this idiot. What made you stay? I said, you. And she said, because there was always a heart for God in you. Yeah. See, that's what keeps you in there, is that a heart for God. See, I don't go to church because I think always the, sorry, Mary Jo, it's not because always the worship is so great. It's good, but it's not, so Pastor, it's not always because the preaching is so great. I said, not always. It's not because this is a perfect church or any church is a perfect church. I need that part in my life.
Yes.
To make it, I need it.
Yes.
For my personal spiritual survival, I need it. Yes. Now I want to show you what David did here in Psalms 84:10. Listen to this prayer he prays. Mary Jo led us in that. I love that. Better is one day in the courts. She led us in that. That's one of my favorite courses. Psalms 84:10 says, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. He said this after what he said in Psalms 55. He made a decision whether I have a place of significance in the church or not, whether I'm important or not. I'd rather be somewhere where God's at, see, than to be somewhere he's not at in spite of how messed up the place is where God's at. I'm here to tell you, Cayuga, Cornerstone, been to both places. This is my home church. This is where I'm at. That's my rich uncle church over there. And I love both places. And I'm telling you right now, I've been there when God's been there. And I'm going to stay because God shows up there and he ministers to people and he touches people. I don't care how messed up things get. You got to stay where God might be at. Look at what David, give the Lord a hand clap tonight. Let me say something else here. See, when we first read that, when he says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper, we don't really get the significance unless we research it of what he's really saying there. When he says a doorkeeper, he doesn't just mean he's outside the door like a door greeter would be, and he shakes hands with people when they come in. Literally, what a doorkeeper was somebody that wasn't allowed to cross the threshold. They either had to sit in a window sill, or they had to lay by the threshold where they would be walked over when they people went to the house of God. He said, I'd rather not be able, we're literally saying, if you could translate this way, he's saying, I would rather not be able to go where God's at and just sit outside and not be important than to be somewhere important and God not be there. He said, really, the doorkeeper meant to sit at the threshold. How many know the threshold is what you walk over to get where you need to be? So David's saying, I'd rather be walked over and be where God's at than be somewhere God isn't at and be important. Now, how many know that quits all that getting hurt in the church excuse right there, doesn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Another excuse. Of course, Sister Janet quoted part of that first excuse when she said, Dave said in Psalms 122, which is after Psalms 55 too, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That's after Psalms 55. Here's my favorite one. Are y'all ready? Put your seatbelt on. Get your ouch pad out so you don't get ouched. People say this, well, I'm just not getting fed. Have you ever heard that before? I'm just not getting fed. I had to get somewhere. Go to Isaiah, the first chapter. Most of the time, not getting fed has to do more with disobedience than it has to do with what's being preached. Most of the time, not getting fed has to do with disobedience more than it has to do with what's being preached. Can I say something? I'm getting ahead of myself. Can I say something? You all know I've lost, I don't know how much weight I've lost. I'm about 40 more pounds ago. It's getting a little tougher. I'm starting to exercise a little bit. It's going to start. That was helping me a lot. And still the discipline's there, but just needs to come off. But, you know, part of losing weight is changing what you eat as much as it is how much you eat. I hate raw vegetables. I don't dislike them. I hate them. When we talk about unforgiveness, I have to forgive vegetables. Broccoli is good to me if it's steamed and it's got a whole lot of mother's, you know, not mother's, but it has a whole lot of cheese on it, right? And it's in between two nachos. Brussels sprouts are extremely good. And when I look at a Brussels sprout, the first thing I think of is a failure of a cabbage to make it. And to add on to eat, not Brussels sprouts, but broccoli and cauliflower raw. You know, I ate a ton of that today. How much is a ton? A handful is a ton to me. It's horrible. Jared's a millionaire because I've been on a diet. Subway guy. I can't have a certain kind of dressing on it. I take vinegar every other day. I eat a Subway 6-inch whole wheat sub, and the other day I eat a 6-inch. I eat a veggie salad there, and the lettuce is okay. I put them, and I've got, you know. But can I tell you something? Let me tell you something. Anything tastes good when you're starving. Amen. When you eat at Subway and it's all raw vegetables and you like it and it doesn't even have bread with it, you're hungry. When you go in the cabinet and my wife, you know, she's a secret agent for the dietitians because I've tried to open up the refrigerator door and something good be in there and it's still that junk in it. I open up, it's still a ton of raw vegetables, carrots, broccoli, cauliflower, and it looks just as ugly the fourth time as it. I've tried to open up and believe in God, there's a steak already cooked in there. Chocolate chip cookie. I haven't ate a chocolate chip cookie in so long. My sugar level would go crazy. My pancreas would say, you've been gone for a while, boy. Amen. But you know what? I eat that stuff because I'm hungry. It's not really cheating. Is I go over and sometimes order sausage from him with no bread. And I eat a little bit, and I can't really eat it now. But you know something? I got hungry for good stuff as I ate it, right? Most people say they're not getting fed because they're not hungry.
Come on.
Huh?
Come on.
They're not hungry.
Yes.
Well, I had to go somewhere where I got fed. No, you just had to go somewhere where you got entertained. Yeah. Yeah. Hmm? If you're hungry, you eat. Right? If you're hungry, you eat. Spiritually, look at what the scripture says in Isaiah, the first chapter. Amen. I'm not going to make any apologies. Say, oh, I hope I didn't offend anybody. The Bible says, they that love thy law shall never be offended. So, Isaiah, the first chapter, 19 says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You want me to give you my translation? If you refuse and you rebel, you're going to be eaten. If you're obedient, you're going to eat. Huh? So sometimes maybe it's not a matter of quitting a church because you're not getting fed. It may be a matter of quitting a church because you're being disobedient to what's being preached. Amen. I said maybe, baby. But you know which way I'm leaning. Amen. How many know something in any message will feed you? I get fed. Mary Jo can tell you this. She said, I'm glad you said you loved it when I do this, because I thought you thought I'm a weirdo or something. But she'll sing a chorus. And in fact, next time I preach on Cayuga, at Cayuga, I'm going to preach a message that came from just a word from a chorus she sang. You've seen me do it a couple of times. She'll say something during the chorus, and they're like, that last one was when she sung that song that says, I want to drink from your cup. And that just hit me. I'm like, about five pages in up before she got it done. See, that's because I'm hungry.
Yes, that's right.
I'm looking for something that's going to miss me. I'm not going to wait till everything just tickles my ear. I'm waiting. Maybe the chorus is going to say something. Maybe somebody's going to say something to me. Maybe something's going to be said in the announcements. Maybe something's going to be... See, I'm waiting to get fed.
Yes.
Right? I'm like, we've been hooked on the Beverly Hillbillies, you know, the old shows I have. And I like it when Jethro eats all the time. And Granny said on one show, she said, dinner? As now, beings are, boom, he was gone. That's the way you ought to be with the house of God's concerned. Amen. The first song, God said, dinner? Oh, I can't wait. Is now, being served, and then you devour it, right? Amen. You know what? Sometimes good preaching is because you make a demand on what's in the person.
That's right.
Okay. Colossians 3, I just hope next time pastor preaches that I don't fall asleep. No, I just thought about that. Because everybody in the church is going to be watching me next time I'm here. They're going to be watching me, you know. Okay, buddy. Amen. But I don't. I get a lot of things out of what he shares. And when Pastor Jim shares, I get stuff out of it, minister. And I hope that is vice versa too. Colossians 3, I want to show you how that growing comes easier in the Word. We're still an excuse. I'm not getting fed. Growing comes easier in the Word as we work together. Look at what Colossians 3:16 says. This is good. We're almost done. Colossians 3:16 says, how many know the fact is you'll eat better and grow more if you stay in church?
Amen.
Right? Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, Colossians 3:16. Now the word where it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, the word dwell means to dwell in or inhabit or live in. See, God wants his word to dwell in you or inhabit or live in you with great abundance. Now listen to what Rick Renner says in his, he's a Greek scholar. I got his sparkling gems from the Greek. Tracy, you have that too, don't you? It's awesome. And he tells what the word where it says, let the word Christ dwell in you richly, what the word richly means. It means incredible abundance, extreme wealth, enormous affluence, great prosperity, immense riches, extravagance, extravagant lavishness. That's what the word richly means. Now, it's talking about finance. It's talking about the word in you. How do you get this? How do you become a spiritual billionaire? Listen to what it says. Teaching, which means to instruct, and admonishing. Listen who you admonish. One another. That's just not the preacher doing it. Amen. The word admonish means to put in mind and to warn gently. I mean, sometimes we need people that can tell us things we're doing wrong. And you can't get that by just watching television ministries. Amen. Did you hear me? And then it says in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I'm going to skip some of this, but let me just say one thing. The early church would use songs in repetition to develop doctrine in the believer. And we still do that today to some degree. We've got a lot more information, a lot more ways of doing it, but that would be one way they would. In fact, they would, certain scriptures, they would write songs of different psalms and stuff like that. And they also would sing songs of commitment to God, because a lot of them were going to die for their faith, and they would sing songs of commitment to God. And it reminded them, how many know some people, can I say, give a vote of confidence to people that were in music ministry? Because people leave churches because they don't like music. Here's one of their qualms is, I need to sing the same thing over and over again. I can't believe they do that. Well, you know what? Sometimes we do need to sing the same thing over and again, because it builds it in your spirit. It builds it in your mind. Then it builds it in your spirit, right? Let me tell you how much that works. I'm going to give you two quotes, and I'll see if you can catch it. I'm not even going to sing it. I might sing a little bit. You deserve a break today. Ah, you got it. Because you heard it, and you heard it, and heard it. Let me give you another one. Are you ready for some? How many know? If we would allow We need to change things around in church. We need to do things differently. But sometimes repetition has to be there to develop our spirit man for the doctrines we need. Can I have an amen? Amen. And so that's a qualm too. And then, of course, you know, not only does it go through music, but it goes through instruction. I'm going to give you one more, then we're going to turn to the end of this. Here's my best one. One of the ones I hear people say, go to Luke 4:16.
When I'm not going to follow no man, I'm just going to follow the Lord.
You'll never get okay by just following the Lord. Because God uses people to help you.
Amen.
Did you hear me?
Amen.
I already talked about that. It's a body thing. It's not just the head. It's the body.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. You know who God's going to use in your life? Probably a lot of times is a person that rubs you the wrong way just to get you where you know. I remember when I was in Bible school, Ron Magner. I think Ron lives here in Bentonville. Ron was after this real good looking chick that was mine. Amen. That's mine. Leave it alone. I didn't always want it to be mine, but didn't let anybody else have it till I decided. Ain't quite all that way, but it is something a little bit. The other version will come. She's going to share about 5 minutes Wednesday night, so I'm fearing she's going to, you know, she'll just share what God has for her. But anyhow, but you know what? I'm going to tell you something about Ron. I got real sick one night, and Ron stayed up with me all night long and quoted the word to me. I was throwing up. It was awful. He stayed up all night and quoted the word to me. That humbled me because I found out I need everybody in the body, just not who I pick and choose.
Right.
See, the Bible says each one of us has the parts that's Christ. What we don't need from you is the part that's not Christ.
Yeah, that's
it. We need the part of you that's Christ.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, some people say, well, I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm not going to follow no man. Well, if you follow the Lord, you're going to follow him right into church. See, what that is that's an excuse of wanting to be restored without being accountable is what that really is. Look at what it says in Luke 4:16. And he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up for it to read. Did you notice there that it said, as his custom was, as his custom was, as his custom was? That word custom literally means a habit or an habitual act. Jesus had this little habit he couldn't break. He liked to go to church. You're saying, well, I went and they didn't receive my ministry. Luke 4th chapter. When he went that day, he told them who he was, and they wanted to kill him. Do you think he didn't know that before he went in there? But he went anyway. And you can't go because somebody looked at you funny. Well, they just might be funny looking. Amen. You'll never get okay as long as people in church are your excuse.
Come on.
Huh? Now, let me give you one more thing here. Not that excuses, but one more thing. I told you, we got to find out what our purpose is. And I do want you to turn there for sure. Hebrews 10:25, and we'll be done. I want to share a testimony. We'll go back to David and share a testimony. We'll be done. And we're going to believe God for you tonight. Y'all receiving from the Word tonight? Now, Hebrews 10:25, all my life I've heard this quoted, and we always quote this when people don't come, and then when we have a service and hardly anybody shows up, we quote Matthew 18, where it says, where two or three are gathered. We always use those scriptures. But Hebrews 10:25 not only tells us that we should come to church, but it tells us why we be there. See, we sometimes major on the first part without majoring on the last part. It says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. I'm getting emotional because I know where I'm about to go. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but see, we assemble together. We should, you know, they had the same problem then. People didn't want to assemble together. See, we got to be a body, church people.
Amen.
We have got to be a body.
Amen.
And you can't be it and be absent from each other.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That means to encourage, to admonish, like we talked about. It means to help one another out. But exhorting one another so much the more as we see the day approaching. I mean, it's getting closer and closer and closer. And as it gets closer, the enemy gets closer to try to destroy what God has. And he's not going to destroy the church, but he could destroy you. I'm not going to let him. How about you? I don't care what I go through, what I face, how I feel God. I'm not going to run from the people God wants to use to help
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
I hid things for years from the church. And, you know, Does not work. That's right. Was that Ruth? Does not work. Listen, before I had that nervous breakdown, John Burnaman called me up and told me, Mark, what's going on? And pride would not allow me to tell him what happened. I'd never gone through what I've gone through. But aren't you glad God's still graceful? Yes. Let me tell you something. I can so relate to David. I know what it's like to do something stupid and have to go to church the first time after that. Don't laugh too hard, because when he did this to me, I'm going to tell you what the pastor did to me. I wanted to minister to him, and it wasn't the Holy Ghost either. I mean, I was all over the news. Everybody in the church was praying for me. I told you what I did. I'm not proud of it. And I don't rehearse this all the time, but it so fits what we're sharing. You know, if it fits it, I use it. And I don't get in detail because that's not anybody's business. But, you know, I mean, man, you know, I thought about when I preached on restoration. All I had to do was stand up there, and that's proof that God restores. People think, even tonight, somebody's coming to me and said, I never dreamed all that happened to me. I never dreamed that. Well, I didn't. It was a nightmare. To me, it wasn't a dream, okay? But you know what? I mean, I got back to the house. I had to go to Hillcrest. They had to check me out and do all this stuff. And I'd preached several times. We were in this building then. And, man, you know, the devil fought me about going to church that Sunday. I was late. Now, I want to tell you something. I knew what would happen when I showed up here. I knew I'd be the center of attention. And you don't know this about me. You may think I'm not this way, but I'm really this way. I don't have to be noticed. I get up in the morning and I'm noticed. Understand? There's not a day in my life. Now, there's some days it doesn't happen, but it all equivalents to be about 366 times a year this happens to me. If you add it all up every year. Guess what I hear almost every day of my life, if you add it all up, it's probably more than 366 times a year. Boy, you sure are tall. How tall are you? So I don't have to have attention. I get it by just walking around town. I get it almost every day. I got a cousin that's about 6'2". How tall are you? 6'9". Well, I thought you were about 7 foot tall. I hear that every day of my life, every day. I bet you could just lay that thing up in there, couldn't you? So I don't need attention. I get attention by just getting up. You understand? And probably you think that not about me, but it's literally, it is true. I don't have to be wonderful. I just like showing up, okay? Leave me alone. I knew when I walked in that door back there, if I come late, Jim, they're going to know I'm here, but everybody's going to be nice, except the pastor. I thought, well, I'll be out of order. I won't be in his program note. He won't change anything. It doesn't always work that way, does it? Yeah, I noticed that tonight. And so, you know what he does? Walks back there, grabs me, gives me a hug, puts me on the front row. First time in my life I got to be in the front row and I wasn't preaching. I'll tell you something else he did. And then, I don't know, it was like 16 kids from House of Hope or somewhere come up to get saved. I just had a nervous breakdown. You understand me? I'm not equipped to pray for anybody at this moment. I had marks on my hands where I tried to, you know, I got all this going on. And his brilliant idea is, pray for these people, Mark. I wanted to pray for somebody and it was the pastor. I wanted to lay hands on him and cause him to fall out under my power. But you know, I'm going to tell you something. I'm ahead of myself, but I might share this again, but I'm going to tell you what happened. You know what happened to me? With all that was going on in my life, that first boy I looked at, I was so, you just don't have a clue as to what I was like at that time. When I looked at that kid and I saw the need, immediately all that worry about what people thought was gone because I got out of Mark and I started being somebody for God to use. Amen. I'll tell you something. Now, that's not even my point. This is my point. This is very important because, see, I got to share this because this is why it's so important to stay with the people of God when you go through something. Because I'm sitting up here. I don't know. What is it like? Seats right over there. And Sister Janet came up to me and said, Mark, you know, listen to what she did, Pastor. Listen. Listen to what you didn't do that she did, okay? Even though I know you're about to do it. She said, Mark, I know you don't want to talk to anybody. Did you hear that part? She didn't want to talk. Anyway. And she said, if you want to go back in my office so nobody bother you, that's fine. That went, well, great, that'd be wonderful. When I got up, God spoke to my heart and he said, you're not going to do that. It's amazing I could still hear from God. It amazed me. Jerry and I did it because he said, these people out here love you. And they've been praying for you. And they have the right to love you regardless of how you feel about it. Can I say something to you? Mary Jo, I don't want to embarrass you, but I'm going to, okay? I wasn't going to say your name, but I'm going to say it. I walked out, and one of the first people to talk to me was Mary Jo, and she just said, I'm going to look at her because I respect her and her husband so much. She said, Mark, we don't care what happened. I just want to give you guys a hug. That told me what was about to happen. I was fixing to get healed and delivered. And I knew I was going to have to deal with a lot of junk, but I was going to be delivered. I'm going to tell you something. I would not be here tonight if I would not have come back to church that Sunday morning. Amen. Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap. I think about, you know, there's people here from Cayuga. I would have never known these people if I wouldn't have showed up that day. Because I was given the opportunity to share there. I'd never known these people, good people, if I wouldn't have shown up. I'd never be doing this. I'd never be able to teach this. And see, you don't realize how important you are to God until somebody goes through something and you touch their... You don't realize how significant you are to God. Amen? Now, heads bowed, eyes shut, nobody looking around. I don't want to take more time than that. Did that minister to your hearts? That's what David did that day. He went into the house of the Lord. Church, being around God's people, in spite of all our shortcomings and failures, is always your answer. Pastor says this a lot, and I really like this. There's really two kinds of needs people have for church. It's either to be ministered to or to be in the ministry. If I need ministering to, I'm cheating you. If I don't allow you to touch me. And if I know you need to be touched like some do tonight, I'm cheating you if we don't give you the opportunity to be touched. Now, I just believe this is the way she leads us in a song, or just play some music there. The Spirit of God spoke to our hearts at the very first of this meeting and said, basically, what I heard from God is believe God again. That's what I heard. What can you touch him with? Heads bowed, eyes shut. We've been talking about restoration. And I believe during this whole message and at the beginning of this message, the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart about what's something to believe for. You know what I want you to do? Okay, you guys look at me for a second. I want one man to stand up. He doesn't have to tell us what it is. I want one man to stand up that knows what he's going to believe God to do in his life. Real quickly, one man. Who's going to be the first man? Thank you, Mark. Okay, I'll go ahead and let two of them up. Okay, guys, sit down for a minute. I want two women to stand up. Go ahead and stay seated, Ed. You guys, go ahead and stay seated, Mark. Two women. Okay, I got three women. Okay, I need two more men to stand up. Two more men. Okay, son, you're up. One more man, okay? How about three more ladies? Can you stand up? Come on, three more ladies, stand up. Okay, can I have a couple? Okay, anybody else? You can stand up. Okay, well, we're all men. Three more men. I want you to stand up what you're believing God for. That's two, three, okay? Three more ladies. Okay, now, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do something totally different tonight. There's other people that could have stood up. And because of the way I did this, you didn't stand up. There's two ways you get your need met. You get it met when we agree with you, and you get it met when you meet other needs. See these people up? Ladies, I want you to go to ladies. Men, I want you to go to men. And I want you to pray with them. And as you pray with them, when you get done praying for them, you have them pray for you, okay? Yes. Amen. Are you men? Go to the men right now. And you pray for them. Ladies, you go to the ladies and pray for them. Put your hands up so we can see who you are. Amen. Yeah, you guys four go together if you want to. Group up is fine too. All right, come on, guys. How many more? Come on, I want everybody to participate in this. Come on, Cayuga people, help us out here. John, go over there and pray with some guys. There's a couple over there. Go over there. I'm going to go with the Cayuga people, okay? Hallelujah.